The scripture reading for this morning is found in Luke chapter 15, verses 11 to 32. You can follow along in the insert found in your bulletin. The parable of the lost son. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. And he had spent everything. There was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. 'Your brother has come,' he replied, 'and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound.' The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, 'Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders, yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him.' 'My son,' the father said, 'you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.'" This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Jen, for leading us in prayer and also in scripture. And kids, good to have you all with us here today. It's our family worship service here on Father's Day. So I hope Pastor Becky had given you guys lots of stuff to color and do all that as we go through the service. And it's good to be back with you as we, a lot of us were at our English congregation retreat last week. So we missed you, those of you who didn't go, but it's good to be back worshiping our Lord together this morning. A question I have for you as we begin our service. What does it mean to be a father in today's world? And what are some of the expectations that are placed on fathers by our society, by our culture? Why don't you just take a moment, 30 seconds, turn to the person next to you and quickly just share your thoughts on these two questions. Go ahead. Thank you, everyone, for your thoughts. Now, I believe that our role of a father is more complicated now than has ever been. Not only are we expected to be providers and protectors of our home, fathers take on a much more active role in raising our kids, be it changing their dirty diapers, tending to scrapes, helping with homework, driving them to school, to soccer practices, to social activities. We're pulled in so many different directions as we try to juggle between family life and work and all the other responsibilities that we have. And so we end up feeling that we're either spending too much time at work and not enough time at home, or too much time at home and not enough time at work. And now with both parents, needing to work, having to work, the load on families are just so much more. This role gets so much more confusing. It's no wonder that one of the most desirable qualities for fathers today is simply our presence. Our presence. We just need to be there for our children, to be there for our families. This means listening to them. Listening to them when they're frustrated, when they're upset. This means spending time with them, playing with them, entering into their world rather than focusing on just ours. You know, our children are not expecting that much. They're not asking for much. They just want to know that their dad are with them, to spend time with them, to have a strong role model to look up to, and to be proud of their fathers as we want to be proud of our children. By opening ourselves up and being there for our children, you know, we can strengthen a bond that's been missing, maybe even non-existent in previous generations. So instead of being an unapproachable person, our children can see us as real people and actually learn from us instead of just looking at us as figurehead fathers. All this can be summed up in one word, and that is to be loving. To be loving to our children, to be loving to our spouse, and to be loving to our family. Now, I know some of us may not have had good role models as fathers as we were growing up. And so I'm sympathetic towards those who are in that situation here this morning. But I want to encourage you. I encourage you by saying that our Father in heaven is indeed loving. I've asked a couple of fathers to come up today to share with us briefly on this question. The question of how being a father yourself helps you to understand our Heavenly Father's love for you even more. I'm going to ask Jeff to come up and share first, and then Nick after that.
Good morning, church. Good morning. So I was really looking forward to having a relaxing day today, being my first Father's Day, until Pastor Abe asked me to come up to share. But thank you, Pastor Abe, for inviting me today. I think it's safe to say that many of you can relate to me, especially the teens over there, when I say that I spend way too much time on my phone. And my wife is guilty of this as well, as many times we're sitting in bed at night, and instead of talking to each other face-to-face, we're just texting each other back and forth. Now, on one particular night, Dorcas holds out her phone to me and shows me a picture of a pregnancy test, which was positive. And I'm a little bit slow to catch on to things, so in my head I was thinking, who's pregnant? And I was running through in my head different couples that could be pregnant, and it wasn't until I looked at the picture again and noticed that it was Dorcas's hand that was holding the pee stick. And so came our 9-month journey of just preparing and planning for our coming baby. And I remember we were going through our checklist very intentionally because we wanted to prepare a home for Malachi, to get all the things that we needed, and we wanted for Malachi to come home to a home that was prepared specifically for him. And so we did that. And fast forward a few months later, after Malachi came out and we had some time to spend with him, we've had a few expecting parents approach us and ask us for any tips that we could pass on to them. And I think all parents would agree that an important tip or important thing to remember for having a smooth parenting experience is to be well prepared, to be well prepared with everything that you need. And I can remember about when Malachi was about 2.5 months old, Dorcas and I, we were having this conversation back and forth whether we should dress Malachi in outside clothes as opposed to just wearing pajamas. I was on the side of pajamas, Dorcas was on the side of outside clothes, but being the good husband that I am, I submitted to Dorcas's desires and I said, sure, let's pick out an outfit for Malachi. So we picked out an outfit for him. And here's a picture of Malachi on the left here. So we picked out a onesie for him, pants, socks, a shirt, a jacket, and a toque to put on his head. And we bundled him up, put him into his car seat, and then Malachi made the dreaded face. This face here. And we all know what comes next. This was his reaction. And this is my reaction. But it was okay because Dorcas and I, we were well prepared with everything that we needed to get him dressed, cleaned, and ready to go again in no time. Now, a key in being well prepared is to be able to anticipate the needs of your child so that you have everything that you need at the time that you need it. And every time that we pack Malachi's diaper bag, we know that we are anticipating his needs. Now, I think to answer Pastor Abe's question of how has fatherhood allowed me to understand our Heavenly Father's love for us even more, I think I would say that it has helped me to gain a better understanding, a deeper understanding and appreciation for God who anticipates our needs each and every day, and he is more than willing to meet them. And just in the same way that Dorcas and I very intentionally prepared a home for Malachi, God, during creation, spent his time going through his checklist to prepare the earth specifically for us, to prepare a home for us to come to. In the same way that Dorcas and I can anticipate the needs of Malachi, God daily anticipates the needs of ours. And a verse comes to mind, which comes from Isaiah 65, chapter 24, which says, "I will answer them before they even call to me. When they are still talking about their needs, I will go ahead and answer their prayers." God is faithful to answer our prayers, but this doesn't mean that he always answers it in a way that we can understand or expect. I can share a story about this. So Malachi has been suffering from a cold and he's just recovering for the past 2 weeks. And to help with this congestion, we've been using a nasal spray and also a nose sucker that looks like this here. And I can tell you that Malachi absolutely hates this. He cries and cries when we do this because the last thing he wants is for liquid to be sprayed in his nose and for a tube to be jammed up in his nose when he wants his nose cleared. But what Malachi doesn't understand is that we are doing this because it helps him. And I have to say that this picture is false advertisement because no baby smiles during this time. They just cry. In the same way, God will answer our prayers and our needs, but it won't be in a way that we can always understand. And I just want to end by saying and encouraging you that God is still at work today. He is at work in preparing a new home for us, and this home will last forever. Amen.
Well, I'm very blessed to be a father. I've got 3 kids. I love my kids. I feel their love for me, and God has just used my kids and my wife just to complete me. I love bathing my baby Nathan. I love taking my kids to hockey and to the other activities. I love doing stories with my kids. I just love my kids. And I'm very thankful for Pastor Abe to just allow me to come up today and just share a couple of things that I feel that all fathers feel when I say that we're so honored to have these kids. I feel that I speak for many fathers. And it's not lost on me that some of the fathers in this church have been a very positive influence on my life as I've tried to raise my kids well. And for that, I'm very thankful. You know who you are. I'm very thankful for the fathers in this church and for the stand that they take in raising their kids and for the example that they provided to me. When I see God as our Heavenly Father, and as I was pondering on this week, I see my Heavenly Father as being loving, patient, and trustworthy, as Pastor Abe will, of course, talk as we move forward in the sermon today. Of course, as a human, I have difficulty in all 3 at times. We know the challenges that we have with our kids. I possibly have the most challenge with being patient. Before having kids and when it was just my wife and I, it was very easy for me to be patient because, of course, my world, I was able to organize my world the way I wanted it to be. I was very productive at work. Things were happening well. The house was organized, the house was clean, and we were able to move forward within the context of how we approached our life and how we wanted our lives to be. But God, in his divination and in the way that only he can, brings kids into our lives, into my wife's life and my life, to draw us closer to him. And my oldest son, Graham, is almost 10 years old. And so I've been a father for 10 years. And over the course of that time, basically my agenda has come down to the bottom. And I just haven't had time to do what I wanted to do. Productivity has been less. The office sometimes. The house has been a little messy. I haven't been able to get things done. And sometimes it's frustrating. And sometimes because of that, I get impatient. And this is something that I need to work with on a continuous basis. But the kids are a little older now. And I started to find that we're getting a little more organized in the home. The home's a little cleaner now. There's an uptick in productivity at the office. And things are going better. And I have a little bit more joy in my life. Then a few years ago, Linda comes up to me and says, I want to adopt a baby. Nathan, Graham, and Lauren have been a wonderful part of my life for 10 years. And God has used them in a most unique way to show me who He is so that I can be drawn closer to Him. And because they are in my life, I've learned to deal with impatience. God has also shown me through my children that He's loving and He's trustworthy. Something that our kids need from our fathers. Our kids need fathers that are loving, patient, and trustworthy. I've learned that when you're not patient, joy can be the first casualty. And that our kids need and deserve patient fathers if joy is to be a determining influence in the family home. Time and again, God has shown me that He's loving and trustworthy. And however, whereas I see my part as a father, as a conduit through whom God shows His love, patience, and trustworthiness to my kids, many times I'm thankful that God seems to use my kids to show me His love, patience, and trustworthiness. My kids' love is unconditional, and they're patient. And they want to trust their dad so much. But perhaps the most important lesson God has taught me through my kids is that my conduct as a father is perhaps the most integral and influential aspect of their spiritual development and the most practical way to show my worship for God to my kids. And I'm on this journey, and Lord willing, my kids will see Him through me. Through my conduct. Thank you very much.
Thank you both Nick and Jeff for sharing that with us this morning. Sorry for causing so much stress upon you guys on Father's Day. You took a little bit of stress off of me by doing so. The Bible says in Psalm 100, verse 5, for the Lord is good, and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. You see, unlike deism, which says that God creates the world but left us to fend for ourselves and He's aloof, theism says that God is a very intimate and loving creator who's concerned about our very well-being and who walks with us through life. You see, our Lord, our Father in heaven, is the supreme example of what faithfulness is, of what it means to be loving. In the story of the prodigal son that was read to us earlier, and by the way, this is the famous painting of the return of the prodigal son by Rembrandt, painted about approximately 1669. It's a masterpiece of a work of art. This is not the original. I wish it was. It would be worth millions. It's like 3-4 times the size. This is a masterpiece by Rembrandt, capturing the story of the prodigal son so well. You know, just the way that he portrays the father, his compassionate, warm embrace, the way he protects the older son, and now he views the whole situation, and the way that he portrays the younger son, you know, ragged and dirty and smelly and without the same robe as the other two, and not even having sandals on. These are all intricate details, and if I had more time, I wish I could have gone more into it. But I commend to you a book by Henry Nouwen on The Return of the Prodigal Son, which is an excellent, excellent book to read if you want to read more on that. Anyways, in the story of the prodigal son, the younger son breaks the father's heart. He breaks his heart by asking for his share of the inheritance before his father dies. Who does that? You see, in that culture, it's as if he wanted his father to die. But the father grants his request. He gives his younger son one third of his wealth. And the son takes the money and goes off. And he squanders it. Everything he's received, it's gone. Afterwards, a famine develops in the whole country. And the son was in such desperate need that he hires himself out to work for someone who sends him to feed pigs. The son was so hungry. He wanted to eat the food that the pigs were eating, but he wasn't given any of it. Then, after a while, he finally comes to his senses. And he remembers that in his father's house, even the hired men were fed so generously that there was so much food left over. And so he decides to go home. Now, it's a very difficult decision for him to make, because he knows what he'll face when he gets back home. He'll face the humiliation, the taunting of the people in his village. He'll face the scorn, the hostility of the village elders. He'll face the ridicule of his older brother. And he also expects to face the anger and the wrath of his father. You see, he has sinned against God and against his father. But when he gets closer to the village, he's overwhelmed by a series of surprises. Everything that the father does in relating to his son is culturally unexpected. Now, theologians and scholars all agree. You see, the father in the parable has been longing and waiting for his son's return. And when the father sees him, he runs to him, which is a shameful act for a man of his age, of his stature, to do in that culture. Dignified men do not run in that culture. The father then embraces the son, even though he's filthy, he's wearing dirty clothes, another shameful act. Then he kisses his son, even though he's dirty and smelly, yet another shameful act. And see, in doing all these things, the father is taking the shame of his son upon himself. And so whatever the people of the village and the older brother wanted to do to the younger son, because of his selfishness, his sinful ways, they must now do to the father. And the surprises continue to come. As the father orders the best robe to be put around his son, a ring to be placed on his finger, shoes to be put on his feet, and the killing of the fattened calf, this was only done on behalf of the most honored guest, not this good-for-nothing, selfish, self-centered son. And so when the older son comes back, he notices a celebration going on. And hearing the news, the older son, he becomes angry, and he won't celebrate. In his mind, his younger brother was dead, and he should remain in that state. The older son's resentment seizes him, so he couldn't enter into his father's home. He could not enter into his father's love. You see, when I hold on to my anger, to my grudges, and when I find it hard to forgive people, I'm like the older son. When I grumble, when I complain, when I constantly find fault in others, I'm like the older son. The older son lives at home with the father, But he's far from the father's heart. He's far from the father's love. And so rather than sharing in his father's joy, his younger brother's return, his pride and his selfishness that were deeply hidden are now revealed. It is now revealed. The older son totally underestimates the depth of his father's goodness, the depth of his father's love. In this parable, Jesus shows us the heart and the love of our Heavenly Father as he describes the love of the Father in the story that he has for his two sons, for both his sons. Now, to me, this is a beautiful picture. It's a beautiful picture of a loving Father and a loving God. You know, the Father humiliates himself. He humiliates himself to show love towards his sons. And so if the message for us is that the message to the younger son is to come home, then the message to the older son is to come in. You know, come in to the Father's heart. Come in to the Father's love. Our holy God risks his own reputation to welcome home lost sons and lost daughters. Now, I don't know why God has given each of us two fathers, you know, our earthly father and our heavenly father. But for whatever reason, he has. And perhaps it's because as earthly fathers, we're to imitate our heavenly father. We're to learn from our heavenly father. And so what is it that we can learn about the father's love? Let me quickly go through three of these today. First, a loving father prays and waits for his children. He prays and waits for his children. Verse 20, chapter 15 says, "So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him." This verse suggests that the father was hoping for the younger son's return. He was praying and waiting for his return in anticipation of his return. Do we pray for our children? Do we really pray for them, for their protection, for their spiritual growth, for the Lord's purposes to be done in their lives? Are we just concerned about their grades, their homework, their education, their graduation, their career? Or are we praying for their souls? Are we praying for them to recognize the Father's deep love, deep plan for them in their lives, his wonderful plan for them? Are we praying these things? The writer of Hebrews says in chapter 7, verse 25, "Therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them." God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit is interceding for us. He's praying prayers on our behalf. Now, this is an area that I want to really encourage us as fathers to do, to grow in, to pray for our children, to pray for our family. And in addition to praying, a loving father waits for his children. He waits for his children. It's hard to wait, isn't it? It requires faith. Not in ourselves and what we can do, but in the one in whom we pray to. We need to wait upon the Lord for them. Love and enjoy your children at the place where he or she is at. And while you're waiting for God to take your son or your daughter to the place where he or she needs to be, wait upon God. Wait and have patience upon your children. And so as we pass through this in-between phase, we should consider the poem and the words of this poem by Diane Lumens as she reminisces on her role as a parent. I like what she says. She says, "If I had my child to raise over again, I would build self-esteem first and the house later. I would finger paint more and point the finger less. I would do less correcting and more connecting. I would take my eyes off my watch and watch with my eyes. I would care to know less. and know to care more. I would take more hikes and fly more kites. I would stop playing serious and seriously play. I would run through more fields and gaze at more stars. I would do more hugging and less tugging. I would see the oak tree and the acorn more often. I would be firm less often and affirm much more. I would model less about the love of power and more about the power of love. Parents, fathers, spiritual fathers, and spiritual parents, we need to see the oak tree in the acorn and celebrate the expected outcome daily in prayer as we wait for our acorns to germinate and to grow. And of all things, we need to concentrate on modeling the power of love and not the love for power. First, a loving father prays for and waits for his children. Second, a loving father is filled with compassion for them, for his children. What emotions fill us as we think of our children, as we interact with them? Are we filled with compassion for them? Or are we filled with frustration and anger and indifference? Verse 20, the chapter says this. So he got up and went to his father, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The father in the parable ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. I truly believe that this compassion cannot come without our praying, without our waiting upon our sons and daughters, waiting for the Lord to work. This compassion flows out of our praying, out of our waiting on God. And so don't be afraid or don't be discouraged if you have a hardened heart at this moment. I know sometimes I do. Because it's often as we begin to pray that God will soften our hearts, that God will do his work in our hearts as we begin to pray for our children. First, a loving father waits and prays for his children. Second, a loving father is filled with compassion for them. And then third and last, a loving father blesses his children with their identity. He blesses them with their identity. How can we bless our children each and every day? Here, I'm not referring to material blessings or spoiling them by giving them everything that they ask for. But rather, we're talking about reminding them who they are. Verse 21, 24 says this. The son said to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. The father in this story blesses his son, his younger son, with the identity of who he is. The younger son had lost his identity through a series of various choices and actions and consequences in his life. But the father reminds him that he is his son. And he does this through the giving of his son of the best robe and putting it on him. You know, a robe signifies the distinction. It signifies distinction of one person. He does this by putting a ring on his finger. A signet ring is a sign of authority, and he gives this to him. He does this by putting sandals on his feet. Sandals indicate sonship, as slaves were always barefoot. He does this by the killing of the fattened calf and having a feast to celebrate. And the fattened calf is reserved only for special occasions. So each of these things the father gives was a sign of position, sign of distinction, a sign of acceptance. It was to identify the son with the father. The father blesses his son with his identity. In the parable, when the younger son arrives home, he begins to say what he had prepared to say. But before he could even finish speaking, the father cuts him off and says, in effect, "You're my son. Welcome home, son." The son was willing to be a slave, but the father restores him to full sonship. A loving father prays for and waits for his children. A loving father is filled with compassion for his children. A loving father blesses his children with their identity. You know, as I was looking through the photos that you submitted to me in the past couple of weeks, my heart was greatly warmed. My heart was greatly warmed as I was looking through these photos. And I'm very thankful. I'm very thankful to God. Fathers and parents, I want to thank you for your love to your family, to your spouse, and to your children. And I want to encourage you to continue to be loving. Continue to be present. Continue to be faithful. Continue to be truthful, dependable, reliable, to be trustworthy. Continue to endure and believe, just as our Heavenly Father is loving and faithful to us. In the Bible, in Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17, it says this: "The Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. He will take great delight in you. In his love, he will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you with singing." The Lord rejoices over us with singing, with the Father's song, with the Father's love. Thank you, fathers. Thank you that you're in great encouragement to me. I know it's not easy to be a father. There are many challenges, many hardships, a lot of pain, tears, and everything in between. I want to thank you for encouraging us and our congregation as you persevere in your love and in your faith. As our Father, our Heavenly Father, rejoices over us with his song of love, let us do the same for our children as we continue to parent them. This unwavering love, this unconditional love, is not something that we see often in our world. It is something that we need and are called to be as fathers, as we emulate, as we reflect the character of God himself to our loved ones, to our children. Men of God, persevere in your marriages and in your families. Persevere in praying for your children. Persevere in waiting for them as they become the person that God is transforming them to be. Persevere in your compassionate love towards them. Persevere as you cover them with your blessings each and every day. Remind them often who they are. They are your son. They're your daughter. They're the adopted sons and daughters of the Most High. At this time, I'd like to ask our fathers and even our spiritual fathers amongst us, those who mentor other people, those who have an influence in the lives of other people, Men, if your fathers or spiritual fathers, would you please stand up at this time where you are? And I also want to include a group of people. If you're a man and you're over the age of 19, so you're the age of majority, you're an adult now, please also stand, okay? If you're 19 years old or older, please also stand. And I want us to, at this time, offer a blessing unto the children in our midst. Let's pray this Father's blessing over our children, over those who are both in our sanctuary as well as who are not here today. So men, those who are standing, please pray this blessing and offer this blessing along with me as we pray this together. Let's just do so together, okay? Let's start. My child, I love you. You are special. You're a gift from God. I thank God for allowing me to be a father to you. I bless you with the healing of all wounds of rejection, neglect, and abuse that you have suffered. I bless you with overflowing peace, the peace that only the Prince of Peace can give, a peace beyond comprehension. I bless your life with fruitfulness, good fruit, more much fruit, and fruit that remains. And men, we can do louder than this, okay, as we go on these next two slides. I bless you with success. You're the head and not the tail. You're above and not beneath. I bless you with health and strength of body, soul, and spirit. I bless you with overflowing prosperity, enabling you to be a blessing to others. I bless you with spiritual influence, for you are the light of the world and the salt of the earth. You're like a tree planted by rivers of water. You will prosper in all your ways. I bless you with a depth of spiritual understanding and a close walk with your Lord. You will not stumble or falter, for the word of God will be a lamp to your feet and a light to your path. I bless you with pure and edifying relationships in life. You have favor with God and man. I bless you with abounding love. You will minister God's comforting grace to others. You are blessed, my child. You are blessed with all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. Amen. And as you remain standing, men, I want to offer a blessing upon you as you go. May you know of the profound and unending love of God for yourself. May you know this each and every day you wake up in the morning, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ is with you. As you go through your day, as you go to work, as you go about your business, may this identity of who you are in Christ remain with you throughout the day so you can be a child of God in the places where God has placed you. And even as you come home at night, may you know that your influence in the home is great. May the words you say and the things that you give off to your children, your family, your spouse, be a blessing unto them. May they grow in the love of God, knowing and seeing your love exemplified through our Lord Jesus Christ and through our Father in heaven. And so, fathers, as you go, God has used you, God is using you to be an influence. May you know this, and may you be able to pass this on to both your children and your spiritual children for the generations to come. And all God's people said, amen. God bless you, everyone. Happy Father's Day. Thank you for loving your children and this church.